This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Other big story today. United States in the game of all games. We tied England 0-0. So we didn't lose, we didn't win. But you know what? A tie is a win. As far as I'm concerned, we get a point. We move on. All we got to do is beat Iran coming up on Tuesday, and we will move on to the single elimination round of 16. That is the goal. That is the objective. It is as simple as that. If they tie, well, they're not moving on, really. That's what happens, because Iran, by virtue of their win today, they've got 3 points. We have 2 points. It wouldn't work. So anyway, as far as the Jets are concerned, this gangrene report on 98.7 is driven by Ramsey Mazda. You might have heard that the Jets are going to have a new quarterback coming up on Sunday. He goes by the name of Mike White. Zach Wilson will be the third quarterback. He's not even going to be active for this game. He's going to be sitting, or not even, he might sit, he might stand, it's up to him. But he's going to be observing on Sunday, and should something happen to Mike White, it's going to be Joe Flacco who gets first crack at trying to lead this offense here. And, you know, we talked about this a couple of days ago. Bottom line is that it had to happen, right? And it's not necessarily the final nail in the coffin for Zach Wilson as the Jets quarterback. I don't think you could say that. And Robert Saleh has already made it a point not to put it in those terms. You know, they're hoping that by doing this reset, and that's the term that they used, it's a reset. It's a take a step back, watch somebody else do it, maybe improve your habits on the practice field, work out some kinks, that type of stuff. And then maybe, just maybe, he'll learn from this, he'll get better, and will start to fulfill some of that promise and that potential that the Jets all thought that he had when they made him the second overall pick in the draft. Because the last couple of weeks, he certainly was not playing like the second overall pick in the draft. You know, that's not what this whole thing is supposed to be about. He's not supposed to be a liability out there on the football field. And I think clearly it came to a head on Sunday up in Foxborough, because you saw what New England did last night in Minnesota. And look, I don't think Minnesota's defense is very good. I don't. Okay, I don't care where the game is played. But to see Mac Jones go in there and throw the ball all up and down that field on the Vikings like it was Tom Brady back at quarterback for the Patriots, compared to what the Jet defense did to that Patriot offense just last week up at Foxborough, where they couldn't get anything on them and they held them to a field goal, you know, this defense plays championship caliber football, as Robert Saleh even put it himself. So if you have one side of the ball that's doing their thing and is going out there and clearly is good enough to win your football games, but you're not getting anything from the offense. And make no mistake about it, on Sunday they got nothing from the offense. And there were plays to be made and plays for the quarterback to make that he didn't make. And I think everybody realized that when they went back and watched the film. Some guys figured that out even as it was happening live. And they're running free in the secondary. They're running over the middle wide open. And if the quarterback isn't seeing them, and if the quarterback isn't delivering the football, well, then you know what? You got to make a change. Because now that you go to those two Patriots games, where I think if you're pointing fingers, and I get that it's football and I get it's the ultimate team sport and all those things, but if you take the two New England games as a whole, the quarterback was the number one culprit in those two games, right? The turnovers for the one at MetLife Stadium, two of them just awfully careless throws, which you can't make. And then on Sunday, the quarterback just, I mean, he didn't look like he was ready to play in the NFL on Sunday. It's as simple as that. So you can't keep that going. And you have to make a change for the good of the team. We talked about that when it was even a possibility on Monday when Robert Saleh first floated it out there. You owe it to the 52 other guys in that room to put the best guys out there that are going to give you the best chance to win a football game. And by going to Mike White, they feel that that is going to accomplish that in the short term. Because look, as a whole, if we're sitting here and we're taking the quarterbacks and bringing them into the lab, and we're going to measure what Zach Wilson does great and what Mike White does great, and, you know, on an individual level, Zach Wilson's a more talented quarterback than Mike White. Better arm talent, escapability, athleticism, all those things. Maybe right now Mike White is better suited to run the offense. Right now in November of 2022. That might not be the case in a month from now. Might not be the case next year. But right now, The way this team is structured, and it is a team that's good enough to go to the playoffs. Okay, they're 6-4. Right now, they are in the playoffs. You don't want to squander what they've accomplished for the first 10 games of the season. You owe it to the guys in that room to not squander what they have done so far this year. Defense playing lights out. You know, guys on that team offensively who, when it's been their time, have made plays to help this club win. But the quarterback is the most important position on the field. Quarterback is the most important position, maybe most important figure in the organization. That's why they get paid all that money. That's why they're the only guy in uniform that actually have a wins and losses number attached to next to their name. Running back doesn't, wide receiver doesn't, tight end doesn't, quarterback does. He loses, team loses. He wins, team wins. Everybody in the building, same exact thing. So that's why they had to make this move. And more importantly, the guys in that locker room, they revere Mike White. Hey, some guys just for whatever reason, some guys they gravitate to. And Mike White is the third stringer this year, up until about a month ago when they made him the backup. But, you know, for much of the season, Mike White was number three. Mike White wasn't even active on game day. You know, we weren't seeing much of him at all. But the guys in that room love Mike White. And so, you know, when Robert Saleh decided to make the change and that he was going to be the quarterback, you know that that was going to get the support of every guy in that locker room. And now you got to go out there and validate that with a strong performance against the Bears. Look, the weather's going to stink. It's going to be wet. It's going to be nasty. Ball security is going to be important. And by the way, if you're asking me to read between the lines, it doesn't sound like that Justin Fields is going to be able to go on Sunday. I don't know. Here's what Matt Eberflus, the head coach of the Chicago Bears, had to say. They listed Justin Fields today as questionable. Matt Eberflus said, quote, "We'll see where it goes." Eberflus says Fields would need to be cleared further by the medical staff to play against the Jets. Now, earlier today, I guess we don't have that cut. I was looking for it. I'll paraphrase for you. Robert Saleh was meeting with the media this morning, and he was asked about, hey, you know, what is it like in preparing for this Bears offense that it could be Justin Fields, it might not be Justin Fields. You know, if it's Trevor Siemian versus Justin Fields, two different skill sets on the quarterbacks. But Robert Saleh said, in as many words, if Justin Fields plays, we're going to hit him. You know, and I thought that was interesting. Not that it was any sort of like a bounty declaration of anything like that. Like, duh, your job is to go get the other quarterback. But I wonder if a comment like that would resonate maybe a little bit, and you know it's going to find its way back to Chicago, if it maybe resonates in their minds a little bit, thinking like, Justin Fields is our future, right? Like everything the Bears hope to accomplish in the next several years, it's going to be with Justin Fields at the helm. So knowing that this Jets defense is really, really good, and remember, they get after the quarterback a lot, and they dominate in the trenches. This might be the wrong matchup and the wrong defense for a guy like Justin Fields, who's already playing with a separated shoulder, to have to contend with. Because if he does further damage to that thing coming up on Sunday, not only are you knocking him out for the rest of the season, then you're probably looking at some sort of a surgery, which means some sort of a rehab in the offseason, which means you're further impeding the guy's development. Right? You want a young quarterback to have no restrictions in the offseason, to where he could go out there and train and do everything he needs to do physically to be able to come back ready to go for spring ball. But if he's having a rehab, a shoulder injury, that might set you back a couple of steps. So it's food for thought, right? I'm just offering it up with my own two cents. By the way, three youngsters for the Bears, Jaquan Brisker, Kyler Gordon, Sterling Weatherford, all youngsters on that defense, all out for Sunday's game. They're in concussion protocol. Brisker is interesting. He's a safety. He's also their leading sacker. And he's got three. All right, this Bears defense is a far cry from the old monsters. This ain't exactly going to confuse people with the 85 Bears that you're going to see coming up on Sunday. Bears do not have a good defense. Remember, they traded away Roquan Smith to the Ravens. Robert Quinn got traded as well before the deadline. So those are their two biggest veteran names that they said goodbye to, already building towards the future. So they don't have much of a pass rush. You might not even have your starting quarterback come Sunday. I mean, you never want to say, like, must-win game, should-win game. But by God, I mean, Zach Wilson could be the freaking quarterback on Sunday. Jets have to win this game. They really do. Get to 7-4. Get yourself back in playoff positioning. Vikings did you solid yesterday by beating the Patriots. Now you got to also root for Tennessee coming up on Sunday because the Jets don't have the tiebreaker with the Cincinnati Bengals. So you want to give the Bengals their fifth loss and get them below the Jets in the pecking order for the AFC wild card. Could be a pretty nice holiday weekend if those things come true. A Jet win and a Titan win. You got the Viking win. Boom, boom, boom. You got the trifecta, tic-tac-toe, if you're a Jet fan here coming up over the next couple of days. That is the Gangrene Report. It's driven by Ramsey Mazda. It's the experience of driving a new Mazda and buying a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Let's get some phone calls up. We haven't had a chance to talk to the good people yet today at 800-919-3776. We will start it off with a gentleman who we know will be at the game coming up on Sunday. Hopefully he brings his rain gear.
What
it's our pal Ira
in
Staten
doing?
Island. Ira, how are you?
Hey, what's happening, Dan? Hope your Thanksgiving was good. And yeah, the rain gear's already in the trunk.
Yeah, you gotta have it. Gotta have it.
You gotta have it. Gotta have it. So you look at this game, and you know, we spoke, and as it's, we both expected, they turned to white. They did what they needed to do. But going forward, listen, I understand it was the second pick in the draft. I understand everything about Wilson. I wanted Wilson. I just think I watched Mac Jones yesterday. I watched Cousins. I watched all the quarterbacks. And he's broken. I'm not getting on him. He needs to be rebuilt right now. And I think what they're doing is the right thing to do, whether it's a week, whether it's the remainder of the year, whatever the case might be. But I just think going forward, and I know this is going to come across the wrong way, I don't think he's the opening day quarterback next year. I really don't. I think they're going to go out and get themselves a veteran because this team rapidly grew so fast, and they're a win-now team. And you can't let a quarterback hold you back when you're knocking on the door. Now, they're not going to a Super Bowl, and they're not going to a conference final this year. I get it. But you know what? If you had an established quarterback next year with this roster and with the additions of what Douglas might do in the offseason and next year's draft, you're talking about a serious contender next year. And you can't let Zach Wilson hold that back. If he progresses, that's great. But you know what? They've had him in the building for almost 2 years. They know what this kid is. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if he isn't the opening day starter next year.
Ira, I don't disagree with anything you just said. I really and truly don't. And I thank you for the phone call. Stay dry on Sunday. 2023, I mean, I've said this before. 2023 was the year that they have always identified. Like when they put this plan in place, when Joe Douglas was hired, what was it, right? What was it, 2019? I can't even remember when he was hired. Yeah, 19, right? McCagnan did the draft for 19, and then he was let go. So Joe came in the summer of 2019. When he walked in, and they mapped this thing out on the old board as to how they're going to go about rebuilding this program. 2023 was always the one that they circled, as that is when we are going to be ready to roll. Like, ready to roll to where when everybody's making their predictions in the summertime for the season, like, the Jets are going to be a name that some teams are going to think could be really, really dangerous. Well, a funny thing happened along the way to 2023, and that's called 2022. All right? The way this defense has been remade over the past year. Remember, this was the worst defense in the NFL statistically last year. Like, it got so bad that, like, they even called me up before the last week of the season when they had to go to Buffalo, and they'd be like, look, I know that you got to be part of the broadcast and everything, but you think you got a couple of snaps in you on Sunday? Like, we're really, really shorthanded. Like, that's how bad it was. They're signing dudes off the street routinely, week in and week out. You ever play football before? Great. Here's a playbook. You're up next. Like, and starting them, not just signing them and saying, okay, we need you for depth. No, sign them and start them. So it was a mishmash unit last year. And we know about the guys that they drafted. We know about the guys that they signed in free agency. And now look at them. They're a top 3-4 defense in the NFL. When you have a defense that plays to that level, it can mask a lot of the other deficiencies you have on your team. Like, oh, by the way, inconsistent play from the quarterback position. And they're 6-4. And they are a playoff caliber team. And if you ask me, they should be a playoff team this year. And you don't punt on those opportunities. So Robert Saleh and the coaching staff and the organization decided right now who gives us the best chance to win. And the best chance for us to win games on the strength of our defense. Hopefully they get this running game jump started again as well, which has kind of gone a little stagnant the last couple of weeks. The answer to that question is not Zach Wilson. With the way that he's playing, with this little funk that he's in right now. And look, I know Saleh said all the right things the other day. He said all the right things about this isn't the end of Zach Wilson, and I believe him for that. But he termed it a reset. He thinks that's what's going to be the best for him, best for the football team. Take his word for it. Although, it's really a reset because he's not even the backup. He's a healthy scratch on Sunday. Like, he ain't even wearing a uniform. Robert Saleh talked earlier today and said that the team, coaching staff, they're confident in some gentleman named Mike White.
You're not trying to be the best in the world. Obviously, that's the goal, but if you're trying to chase something you have no control, you're just trying to be your best. What is your best? And you trust that your best is good enough. So he doesn't need to be anybody but Mike White. Just no different than Quinnen Williams. Doesn't have to be anybody different than Quinnen Williams. He doesn't need to be anybody. He's himself. And if you know what your fastball is and you know what your changeups are, just let it rip. And we all have faith in Mike White, and we have this faith in his mental makeup and the way he prepares.
What about the phone call that Robert Saleh made to Mike White when he let him know on Tuesday that he was going to be the starting quarterback?
It lasted all of 30 seconds. Said, Mike, how you doing? He said, good. And said, all right, you ready to roll, man? And said, yep. I said, all right, I'll see you tomorrow. And that was it. So.
That was actually basically the details of the phone call that Anthony Pusick and I had before the show today. Talking about what we were going to talk about. We just said, hey, how's it going? You want to do the show with a little football? Okay, good, bye. That was it. Done. Nothing more, nothing less. You know, it doesn't take a lot of planning. We just go with it. And lastly, Corey Davis is going to make his return. We haven't seen Corey Davis since that Denver game. Remember that Bronco game? Jets lost three members of their offense. Key guys. Corey Davis, Elijah Vera Tucker, Breece Hall, all in that game. Now, unfortunately, AVT and Breece Hall out for the season. Corey Davis hadn't played yet. He'll be back in there this week with a knee injury. What is the impact of having Corey Davis back in the fold?
It's big, and sometimes you don't feel it until they come back. And, you know, just the professionalism, the detail, the walkthrough, just the deliberateness at which he goes about every rep. It's such a high regard for Corey and his professional manner. But, you know, him lining up, getting other people lined up, there's a calm with him in the huddle because we are young at that receiver spot. And so when he's in there and he's kind of directing traffic and he's talking to people, and then the way he practices and the effort, I know from a stat standpoint, fantasy-wise, you may not look at it and say, well, he's not really doing much, but he's by far one of our more productive receivers just because of what he does, not just on the field but off the field, but also within the run game and all the different things he does.
Speaking of the aforementioned Corey Davis, he was on earlier this morning with our pal Ty Butler, who was filling in for DNR. What were Corey's thoughts on the quarterback change?
I don't want to say too much on it. It kind of is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Saleh made the decision to go with Mike, you know, and the team's behind it, behind the decision. And we're behind both quarterbacks, to be honest. You know what I'm saying? We support both of them, support Zach through what he's going through, and we with him. You know what I'm saying? There's no hatred. There's no bad blood in the locker room at all. You know, we all support him and Mike White. They're stepping up right now, and, you know, we're going to need him big coming up this next week. So we're excited about what we got, man, and excited to go out there this week.
I will say this. If I could take you behind the curtain for a couple seconds.
Lift Corey it up Davis, and show it to me.
Well, not to that extent, Peter. Corey Davis and Zach have a close relationship, Zach Wilson. Do a lot of work on the practice field, after practice, staying after a little bit. So I know those dudes have a pretty close relationship. So on a personal level, that's probably why Corey's a little reluctant to speak, as he just said about it, but he's a team player, and of course they're going to support Mike White. Like I said, everybody loves Mike White in that room. But Corey was also asked, was there a negative reaction in that locker room to the way Zach Wilson handled himself post-game after that Patriot game on Sunday?
No, I mean, not for me. And the thing is he knew that, you know, he shouldn't have said that, and that's why he addressed the team, and, you know, we got everything cleared up, you know, in-house. That's really what matters. But he knew he shouldn't have said that, and he addressed the team. So we're moving past that. You know, we're supporting both of them, like I said, supporting what he's going through and supporting Mike.
Now, I don't know if you've had a chance. One last thing, though, about the Zach Wilson stuff from, you know, Wednesday. He met the media, and it was his, you know, the first time he talked after he was demoted, trying to clear the air after everything that happened post-game on Sunday. And if you haven't had a chance to watch that yet, go on to the Jet website. you know, YouTube or whatever, where they log all those videos and, you know, watch the Zach Wilson press conference from Wednesday afternoon. It's about, you know, 5-6 minutes or something like that. And personally, I thought he handled himself really, really well in everything he said. Almost like whether he was coached up on it or not, he couldn't have handled it any better. And that's what you hope you got from that situation, because I'll tell you, if he wanted to, you know, expedite the process of buying a one-way ticket out of town, you know, if he had a press conference on Wednesday similar to what we saw on Sunday after the game, like I said, that would be a quick fix on how to really make yourself unpopular amongst the fan base, amongst the ranks, you name it. But no, Zach said all the right things on Wednesday, and you truly hope that he uses this as a teaching moment. He goes out there and improves, clears his head, you know, even from a classroom standpoint and the things that he has to do there, just to be able to make himself a more well-rounded quarterback and somebody who's ready to lead this team on the field and off the field when he gets that next opportunity. Now, on the other side, if Mike White keeps winning games or goes out there, plays well Sunday, goes into Minnesota, wins a game, how do you switch it up? How do you not just keep rolling with the guy that's winning games, a guy that's extremely well-liked? I mean, doesn't it tie back into the same decision that Robert Saleh made to make a quarterback swap right now? You owe it to the rest of the locker room. Well, if Mike White comes out and balls out, keeps winning games, you owe it to the locker room, right, to keep this thing going. You would think. 800-919-3776. That is the telephone number. We'll get your jet calls coming up. Remember, Mike Tannenbaum at 5, Greg Buddle at 5:30. We'll do ENN coming up at 6 o'clock. A full show till 7 o'clock on this Friday. Dan Grasso in for the K Show, 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
On this day after Thanksgiving, hope everybody had a great one. And I've said this many, many times. Today is the day. All right, we have 365 of them on this calendar system that we use. This is the day where you get the best meal the entire year, hands down. I am on team day after Thanksgiving leftover dinner, apart from any other segment of food that you will consume in your life on any given year. Because, for a number of reasons. Number one, the food is still good, right? It's only a day old. You heat it up. You already know what you're getting. You know what works. You know what doesn't work. So you can use that to your advantage. You're not diving into the deep end maybe like you do on Thanksgiving, like especially if you're introducing something new to the table. Oh, let me give that a try. Or, oh, we don't usually do this. Or, oh, made this differently. Let me give it a shot. Some might work. Some might not work. But you're going to go back to the well on the next day with the things that work, right? So you're guaranteed a good experience. Number two, you know, on Thanksgiving Day, you're maybe with family, you're with friends, you're with groups of people, and especially like if you have it at your house, like you're hosting. So especially if you have people over, like you gotta perform, right? You're hosting people. You have guests. You can't just like kick back, you can't relax, you can't do whatever you want. Today you eat this meal, like when I sit down and I have the leftovers later for dinner, you know what? I'm gonna be wearing sweatpants. Can't wear sweatpants on Thanksgiving if you got people coming over, so the sweatpants are gonna be busted out. They will be there. It's more of a relaxing atmosphere. You know, you go out to a nice restaurant, you have a meal or whatever. Like, you can't wear the sweatpants. You can't wear whatever the hell you want to wear. Comfortable clothes. You can this day. Great food, comfortable attire. It checks all the boxes. It's the best meal of the year, and I can't wait for it. And it'll probably get going right after 7 o'clock tonight when we are done with our little program and we send things off to Knicks basketball coverage. Mentioned Zach Wilson, by the way, a couple of minutes ago. And his postgame, or not his postgame, when he was talking to the media on Wednesday afternoon in the locker room, he was asked about those comments that he made in the aftermath of the Pats game on Sunday and whether or not any of his teammates had spoken to him about it.
No, no one had said anything to me. It was a situation that I knew I had to bring up to them. You know, of course, just the way I handled it wasn't correct. And I've tried to talk to as many of them, you know, after the game.
And that's the bottom line, right? Bottom line, forgive and forget. Forgive and move on. I think that if you're a professional, and this might come as breaking news, I've never been a professional athlete. I think if that happens, you just want your teammates to be accountable. Own their mistakes, right? Be there for one another. Be there for the next guy. And if you get something wrong and you do something that maybe is to the detriment of the team, just own it. My bad. I screwed up. And they'll be more willing to forgive and forget than if you maybe take the opposite approach like what Zach Wilson did on Sunday afternoon. Not only did you play poorly, but then after the game, you basically looked at it and said, no, I didn't do anything wrong. Not my fault. That's not going to get you too many brownie points, especially if you're still a young player in a room that has its share of veterans and ones that have played pretty good this year too. You know, this team's got an inside track on the playoffs more than anything else. 800-919-3776, that is the telephone number. Alex in Tenafly, he's up next here on 98.7 ESPN. Alex, how are you?
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Hope you had a nice Thanksgiving.
Same to you, Alex. What's going on, bud?
Well, you know, I'm a diehard Jets fan, and this is the perfect scenario to get the Jets back on top of the division after Week 14. First off, they got to beat the Bears this Sunday, and we know the Dolphins are going to manhandle the Texans, so that's okay. The Jets have already beaten the Dolphins. Then Week 13, you know, let the Bills beat the Patriots to push the Patriots, you know, further out of the race. Jets beat the Vikings, and the Dolphins lose to the 49ers. Then Week 14, Jets beat the Bills. Boom, back in first place, both teams 9-4. Jets will have beaten the Bills twice. Done.
Sounds good to me. I mean, is it all going to happen? I'm not 100% sure, but Alex, thanks for the phone call. Look, the bottom line is you try to sort out these last seven games if you're a Jet fan, and you're trying to find, okay, what's the path to the playoffs? Obviously, you take care of your own business. Jets control their own destiny right now. They control their own destiny. They win out, they're going to the playoffs. Hell, they win out, they're probably winning the division. You control things yourself, and that's a great, great position to be in. That's number one. Number two. Let's say if you're not in control of your own destiny, the teams you have to look out for, there's three of them in particular in the AFC. One is, of course, the New England Patriots because you lost both games against them, so you don't have the tiebreaker. You need to make sure that they finish below you, a full game below you. The other ones are, of course, the Cincinnati Bengals, who beat you back in Week 3, so you don't have the head-to-head tiebreaker with them. They have the same record as you do right now, but like we just got done saying earlier, they're in Tennessee on Sunday. You root like hell for the Titans. I think Tennessee wins that game. Joe Mixon's not going to be playing this week for the Bengals. He's still dealing with the concussion. Chase, right? So I think Tennessee finds a way to get it done like they tend to do. I mean, Tennessee has got to be like, I hate to say this, Tennessee's got to be like one of the most unimpressive 7-3 teams you've ever seen. But you know what? Win again this week, and you'll make Jet fans happy. And the other, of course, is Baltimore. But to a lesser extent, because Baltimore-Cincinnati, one of them will win the division, and then you let them do their own thing as the division champ. The other one becomes into the wild card derby. But Baltimore's another team that has the tiebreaker over the Jets because they beat you in week number one. Jason in Westchester, he's up next here on 98.7 ESPN. What's up, Jason?
Hey, what's going on, boss? Hey, I was just calling in regards to Zach Wilson. You know, everybody's, you know, really down on the team, and I understand that, you know. But in all reality, guys, I don't think he should have been starting from his first year. If you look at the level of competition, the college he came from, which I don't have a thing with small schools, so I don't have nothing against them, but the level of competition he was playing with against in college, what made you think that he was ready to come to a Jet team, which was pathetic at the time, and get beat up, get hurt, comes into this year, gets hurt again? You know, he doesn't know how to read coverage. It's obvious he doesn't need to know how to read coverage. He should have been sitting. If anything, he should have been starting now, this week maybe, or the week before, for his first and second career start. He was not ready to start, and his career now is going to be pretty much in jeopardy because the Jets screwed him up. He was not ready to start.
Here's the thing, Jason. If this was a show that you and I were having this conversation in like 2004, yeah, you're probably right. But that's not life in the NFL anymore. Now in the NFL, you get drafted, you start right away. You know, there isn't really a learning curve. There isn't a scholarship that you get to kind of sit and watch. More often than not, they throw you right to the wolves. You either got it or you don't have it. Because now when you're talking about the rookie wage scale and the way the salary cap is, if you get a quarterback in his first 4 years where he's going to be relatively cheap, that allows you to build up the rest of your roster and to pay other guys and to make sure that you have a strong 1-53 so you can be competitive and win games. Remember, when the quarterback actually signs that second contract, that's going to take up a hell of a lot of your salary cap, which means you got to make tough decisions at other parts of your roster. That's why teams try to go all in with the youngsters. And we've seen teams ride rookie quarterbacks or quarterbacks on their first deals deep into the playoffs. Remember, the Ravens went to the AFC Championship game with Joe Flacco, went to the playoffs all those years with Joe Flacco in his first contract. Mark Sanchez with the Jets, they went to two championship games his first 2 years. Teams try to find that formula. And if you look at those other quarterbacks in that draft class last year with Zach, Trevor Lawrence started from day one. Justin Fields got his opportunity in the first year. Now he's taking the job. Mac Jones has been starting since day number one, right? Those are all the first-round picks. The only one that didn't was Trey Lance, but they tried to hand Trey Lance the job right now before year number two and took away a quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo who's done nothing but win since he's been a 49er, and look what happened. Trey Lance couldn't stay on the field, and now they're back to Jimmy. So that's the way this thing works now. You got a young quarterback. If you think he's good enough to use the second pick in the draft on him, he's going to play. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah,
he's going to play,
you.
Jay.
I agree with you, but if you look at the competition that those other quarterbacks face and the programs that they came from, they were more set to take on those type of responsibilities. You know, they would. This guy, you know, what was the best college team that he played against? I mean, come on, 2 yards in the second half. This kid can't read coverage. He it's just terrible.
But Jason, let me ask you a question. What do you say about guys? And thank you for the phone call. What do you say about guys who come from top flight programs and struggle on the next level? Works both ways. You know, I don't necessarily buy all that stuff. I really don't. You know, I don't. Like Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes went to Texas Tech. Okay, Texas Tech, I know they're in the Big 12, but they're not an elite football program. Texas Tech is average. They're average. Right? You know, you look at guys like, you know, I know his career has kind of taken a weird path now over the last few seasons, but once upon a time, remember, Carson Wentz, who came from North Dakota, he was having an MVP season. He was going to be the MVP of the league until he got injured late in the year that season in L.A., right? Derek Carr went to Fresno State. Derek Carr was putting together an MVP season until he broke his leg that 1 year on Christmas Eve. Right? So it doesn't matter where you went to school, the competition you played against. You got guys that went to powerhouse programs who can't figure it out at the next level, and you got guys who went to small schools and then went on to have Hall of Fame careers. You know, Terry Bradshaw went to Louisiana Tech. Guys in the Hall of Fame was 4-0 in the Super Bowl. You know, it's a funny system. 800-919-3776. That is the telephone number. Let's say hi to Mike. He's in Yonkers. He's up next here on 98.7 ESPN. What's up, Michael?
How are you today, sir?
Good day. Mike. Happy What's going
on? Whole nine yards.
Same to you.
Okay. I think the Jets' problem at quarterback began way before Wilson got here. Started with Sam Darnold. You had Teddy Bridgewater. Bridgewater was the better quarterback. I think, for the most part, coaches make PR statements. Like when Rex Ryan said he had the best defense he ever had when he didn't have Revis. So they make PR statements. I believe the Jets were told Darnold had to play here. Even though Darnold had more interceptions than any college quarterback, and he threw his teammates under the bus after the second exhibition game. These guys are business people. And they are prima donna.
Wait, time out. Not that I wanted to go back all those years, but how did Sam Darnold throw his teammates under the bus after an exhibition game?
Okay.
I didn't even know they had buses in exhibition games. They have buses in the preseason?
Go back. That's a phrase. Go back to the second exhibition game. He was throwing his teammates under the bus for dropping passes during an exhibition game. And he hadn't even won a regular season game. And this was the same guy that didn't run after that fumble. That whole page that Adams took out. Donald was not part of the team. Zach Wilson hasn't been part of the team. I've been a season ticket holder over 10 years. We already know that Wilson is the third-string quarterback as far as talent. So maybe Salah has to play him because people that are paying his salary are telling him that he has to say good things. But we're fans. We're out there. We see this game after game. People were cringing and taking bets that Darnold would throw interceptions when we had it first and goal. His own defense. Ask anybody. That's a season statement. Everybody knew this.
Okay.
The same thing with Zach.
Michael, I got to go. Thanks for the phone call.
What
now
the
we got
F?
Gambling practice. Yeah, we got gambling practices now with the season ticket holders. What? I got to look it up. I mean, I was doing the games Sam Darnold's rookie year, even when Teddy Bridgewater was there during camp. I got to think back. I don't remember. I think it was only 5 years ago. I think I have a pretty good memory. Sam Darnold throwing his teammates under the bus after an exhibition game? And yes, I know I'm kidding about the buses. Like, people actually take stock in those things?
It's a phrase, Dan.
Apparently it's a phrase, yeah.
Did you not know that?
I guess not. You know, maybe it was too much tryptophan in me. I don't know. I'll say this. You could say a lot about Sam Darnold and the way he played quarterback, didn't play quarterback while he was here. The one thing you can't say is how he treated his teammates. Okay, the people in that room, they love Sam Darnold. Nobody. Whether it was in the locker room, in the front office, in the building, in the cafeteria, there was not a soul. Okay, take this on good authority. Okay, on good authority here. You know, there are a couple things in this world I know. If you want me to go down to that kitchen or walk into a restaurant's kitchen and whip you up a five-star gourmet meal, I'm not going to be able to do that. You want me to split the atom, I'm probably not going to be able to do that for you either. But I can tell you with certainty that there is not a human being in that building in Florham Park that did not root openly for Sam Darnold to be the guy, okay? There was not a guy who was more liked, more respected in that whole facility from the time he was here. I don't know what he was talking about, throwing teammates under the bus. But as far as Teddy Bridgewater is concerned, and I like Teddy too, but you know what? Teddy Bridgewater has been on four teams in 4 years. If he was the answer, if he was the Messiah, he wouldn't be moving around as much as he's been moving around, okay? Four teams in 4 years. You think one of them four teams would have thought, maybe this guy's real good. Let's keep him around. But they were searching for their next solution. Come on, guys. Come on, let's get it together. I know it's a holiday, but come on, let's put our thinking caps on. Be better. 800-919-3776. Hey, Mike Tannenbaum's going to join us in about 15 minutes. Greg Buttle will join us at 5:30. Anthony Pusick has an ENN that he's cooking up for 6 o'clock. That's right. And we're taking it till 7, then it's Knicks basketball. Dan Grasso in for the TMKS crew, 98.7 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Day after Thanksgiving. Hope everybody had a good one. Hope everybody's still having a good one. You know, it's the beauty of the holiday. It takes you right through the weekend, 4 days. You got football, you got hockey, bath, anything you want, even soccer. U.S. England, a massive 0-0 tie earlier this afternoon. Anthony and I were just talking about it during the break. Probably going to do an outstanding, outlandish number because remember, the NFL was going to play a Black Friday football game today. And starting next year, there will be an NFL game on Black Friday. Amazon, who of course has the Thursday night package now, you know, they paid, Jeff Bezos paid all that money to the NFL to get the Thursday night package, and part of the deal is that Amazon were the ones that were pushing for a Black Friday game for them. You know, ties into the whole shopping thing and so on and so forth, but the NFL saw the behemoth, that is the World Cup and USA England, and it was the NFL who put their foot down and said, no, we are the almighty, all-powerful NFL, but even us are a little bit reluctant to go toe-to-toe with the soccer because I think that the soccer would actually get a better rating. You're not going to get like an all-elite matchup anyways on Black Friday. It's probably going to be like two pedestrian teams. Like, you're probably going to get something along the lines of, you know, Jacksonville-Houston or something like that. But next year, on Black Friday afternoon, when you're doing your shopping or when you're just hanging out or doing whatever, there's going to be an NFL game to go along with the college football that's played today.
You want to talk about outlandish numbers, Dan?
Yes, sir.
So CBS Sports PR tweeted a couple of minutes ago that the NFL and CBS game, which was the Bills-Lions, was the most watched early Thanksgiving Day game on record. Any idea how many millions of viewers watched that game?
Wow. I will say 35 million people.
Okay, a little lower than that. 31.627 million. Up 12% from last year's comparable game, which was Lions and whatever it was. I imagine it was a bad game. Lions weren't good last year.
I want to say Lions-Bears was the game. It seems like Lions-Bears as always. Yeah, oh my, exactly.
Game peaked at nearly 42 million viewers. And even with that, they said, we don't want to go up against USA England.
Well, because it went down to the wire. I mean, it was a tie game in the fourth quarter, right? Literally went down to, like, the final play. So you know that everybody probably, if they weren't watching the game, you know, like if you're expecting company and you have people traveling from house to house, like maybe somebody on the road, they show up at the house and they say, oh, you don't have the football game on? Yeah, it's tied. We were listening in the car. And then, boom, you put it on and there's your peak audience. That's what happens. That game, yeah, we were actually eating, sat down to eat, like, in the fourth quarter, like, as that game was finishing. So that was probably around, like, 3:30-ish, maybe, so on and so forth. And look, I give the Lions a hell of a lot of credit, right? We saw them beat the Giants last week. They won three in a row before yesterday, and I know that the line was, like, 9.5 or something. I thought Buffalo would cover the number, but, you know, give Detroit credit. You know, they're a feisty group. Now it's finally starting to take hold. What Dan Campbell and company, they don't play clean football. I still think they're prone to one too many mistakes. And, hey, if Dan Campbell wants to do this thing long term, they're going to have to do a little bit better when it comes to the clock management, because that stuff in the fourth quarter last night was comical. You know, I could barely see with all the food that I was ingesting. And I was even sitting there yelling, call a timeout. Like, what are you waiting for? And then they ended up having that third and short or whatever it was, and they throw the – Jared Goff takes that heave down the field. I mean, that's not a high percentage play. But they'll get those things ironed out. And for Buffalo, you know what? It's been a crazy week for you with all the snow and having to play two straight games in Detroit, and you won both games. Can't ask for anything more than that. So that's a credit to Sean McDermott, his staff, and just the fact that you're stacking wins. It's hard to win in this league. And, you know, you don't want to look too far ahead, but with the Jets, you got Detroit coming into your building on December the 18th. That's not going to be a layup. If they falter and if they're, you know, mistake-prone that day, Detroit will take advantage and they'll beat you. But give the Bills credit. They found a way to win the football game. And, look, that's the type of game you want to see. You know, keep it competitive. And you got that. All three games yesterday were good games. Even the one without the local flavor in it. I thought, you know, Patriots-Vikings tonight was extremely, extremely entertaining. And by the way, isn't it ironic? Patriots beat the Jets last week with special teams. Their special teams were horrible last night. Give up a kick return touchdown, then they had the running into the kicker penalty. Or running into the punter, however you want to call them. Kicker, punter, same thing. When we come back, we're going to run right into Mike Tannenbaum. You know why? Because he's going to be joining us to start the 5 o'clock hour. We'll go around the league with Mike T, Greg Buddle at 5:30. We got ENN at 6, all up to 7 o'clock. And then it's Knicks basketball right here on 98.7. Dan Grasso in for TMKS. We come right back.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.